This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hey, L.A. Lakers got a tough one tonight. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
There's no way I will ever just stick to sports because I understand how, you know, how this platform and how powerful my voice is.
Empowering the next generation through education and using his platform on his own time and on his own dime.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I don't know. I still if I said his name right. And do you pronounce it? Just let me know, Raj. Is it soccer? Where is I put the accent?
No, football with the accent. Football. F-U-T.
Oh, I love football. Football's great, but NFL or college?
I'm talking about the real football. No, I'm talking about the ones where you use your feet.
Use your feet, like a kicker, like a punter.
No, not exactly, where you primarily use your feet.
Are we talking about, like, it sounds, I'm intrigued. Are these high-scoring games?
Well, not exactly. You know, it's more about just strategy and the passion of the crowd and just trying to grind to get you a goal.
Oh, so I show up to watch the crowd. Okay, got it. Zlatan doubled down on his athletes should be athletes. LeBron James responded to his original comment about they should stay in their lane, athletes, and not get into politics. LeBron went back at him and said, hey, you know, like you said things about how you were treated based on your last name in Europe. And, you know, I'm not going to stay in my lane, so to speak. I have this enormous platform. And essentially LeBron was saying he feels it's like a moral imperative to use the platform to effect change, to make the world a better place. The AC Milan star, meanwhile, went back again and said that football and sports unite and politics divide. And so hard to do both at the same time. I'm not offended by what Zlatan said. I don't think he's saying, like, a lot of people heard this, the subtext, as because, you know, obviously it was said about LeBron James and other African-American players, notably, shut up and dribble, right? And so I think a lot of people heard it that way. I don't think that's what Zlatan meant. I think what he was talking about was politics specifically, an issue, you know, an arena where the sense a lot of the times is you have to pick a side. You know, they say that a sports show, for example, should be like a bar. You shouldn't bring up two subjects, politics and religion, because they can be divisive and you want to unite. So that's what he's saying, Zlatan. Although I would say I think, like, my commentary on all this is I get it. I understand what you're saying. But you've also said Muhammad Ali is your idol. He's your hero. He's the best. He's the greatest. It's not just because he brags like Zlatan does, right? Or he has a big personality, or he's good at fighting, you know? It's that Ali stood up against injustice and spoke truth to power and fought for something bigger than himself. And I think it's also notable that, it's worth mentioning, that politics and kind of leadership on social issues is not exactly the same thing, but there is an enormous overlap. And social movements can affect politics, and politics can affect social movements. And so I think it's a bit naive to pretend that you can separate out politics from the business of life. And if you're an athlete, shouldn't, you know, the idea should be, especially one of the platform LeBron has, that sure, you can affect positive change in the world, but don't take political sides. In this country, that is virtually impossible now, given the way our politics has gone and given the way one side seems to be, if not post-truth, then anti-truth. I don't, and also certainly unfriendly in terms of policy toward oppressed minorities. So I don't think you can separate politics out, and I think it's unrealistic. And I think that's my answer to Zlatan. I understand what you're saying, but the reality is you can't do it. Lakers, by the way, take on the 22-11 Suns tonight. The Suns, don't forget, were 8-0 in the bubble. That's before they got Chris Paul. We were asked on First Take today, who do you think's the one athlete, you know, it's the anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points. Who's the one guy in the NBA today who could score 100? And I took James Harden because he'll do whatever his team needs and he can score from anywhere and all that stuff, the way he's playing, and he's put up multiple games of such high numbers of points. I was tempted to say Devin Booker. Devin Booker's game, like Kobe scored 81, not even his best scoring that season, right? What was it, a 63-point game in three quarters? But the crazy thing about Kobe's 81 is they needed all 81 points to beat the Raptors that night. Devin Booker has the game that technically reminds me the most in terms of his scoring of Kobe. Kind of like a smaller, less athletic version of Kobe. But that same kind of mentality in terms of scoring and same and very similar technique. Can score from anywhere in any way. He's by the way, and Devin Booker dropped 70 already in an NBA game. 70! You know what's insane? You drop 70, and to score 100, you're 10 threes away. 10 threes away, and you drop 70. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Max, do you think that record will ever be broken? I mean...
No. No. And Klay Thompson also, you know, I remember that year when he had the 37-point quarter. Scored 37 and a quarter. He had a 26-point quarter that same year. Like, you'd think if you drop 26 and a quarter, retire the prize. No one can ever tell you anything again. Like, I once dropped 26 in an NBA game in a quarter. That was only his second highest quarter of the season. 37 in a quarter! But
and
the odds of someone does
that
for four quarters are low. What?
And when he scored that 37, the best part of that was the opposing bench. They was like, oh my gosh!
No,
like,
you know what the best part was? That was the second best part. You know what the best part was? I think he did it on like five dribbles. Remember that? It's like he didn't dribble the ball. Catch, shoot. Like it was on no dribbles, basically. 37 points.
Oh, that was bad. That was good.
Samuel in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's good, Maximus Max? How's everything, man?
Go ahead. Go, Sam.
All right, real quick. Got two things, man. Listen, we haven't had this much buzz in New York since Jeremy Lin.
Mm-hmm.
And... True. I also want to say this. I think Stephen A. Smith is going to get his wish. Maybe, just maybe, Kyrie and KD might just go to New York to play with the Knicks. What do you think?
Kyrie and KD. Are you serious? You think they're leaving the Nets to go to the Knicks? Fred in Queens, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I know that when you finished up with CP of Knicks Fan TV, you told them, wait till you're 47 and you'll know what I'm talking about. But I'm 67 years old. Mm. I'm a Knicks fan whose earliest memory goes back to that Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game. And I'd remain loyal.
Right. No, wait a minute. That doesn't count, Fred. Time out. You're older than I am, right? So you lived through two championship seasons. The Knicks, all right, they should
correct.
Be on borrowed time with you. I've lived through zero. I was born and raised in New York. The only other place I ever lived for 6 years was Los Angeles, okay? I had an apartment in D.C. for 15 months in the early 2000s when I was hosting Around the Horn, but I didn't really live there. I can tell you this. New York fans deserve the best. It's the home of the Yankees, the most successful by far franchise in the history of American team sports, by far. The Giants are among the most successful NFL franchises, and you know what? Not good enough. They need to be the most successful. Their problem was they had Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry, and they let them both go as coordinators, offensive and defensive coordinator, let them both go. So Cowboys and the Packers wind up with dynasties. And even then, the Giants are among the all-time dynasties, 5 Super Bowl trips and 4 championships. You don't get to be the only franchise in town in basketball and be a laughingstock in New York City. New York deserves better. Way better. New York deserves the Lakers. I used to watch the Lakers. Why aren't the Knicks run like that? No. Fred in Queens, that doesn't count. You lived through 2 championships. I lived through 0 championships. 0. I remember one year, all these free agents and the Knicks were going to get, supposedly, Tim Hardaway and Reggie Miller and Charles Barkley. And they wound up with Chris Childs and Allen Houston, who was good, and Larry Johnson. And Larry Johnson was one of the most high IQ players the Knicks ever had. But it was post-back problems, and he was no Charles Barkley. always said the Knicks are going to go get LeBron and Wade and Carmelo, and they come back with Amari Stoudemire. The Knicks have cleared the decks. They're going to get KD and Kyrie and maybe Jimmy Butler, and they come back with Julius Randle, who's good, but always the consolation prize with the Knicks. Charles in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, thank you for taking my call. So, yeah, I'm born and raised in New Jersey. I got to see the Knicks back in the day, and I didn't realize how special it was when I was watching, but I got to see that team, and I got to see Mantle and the Yankees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here's my question. Brian Windhorst said the Knicks are going to get a superstar. You know, you get excited, right?
Yep.
However, you don't want anything to happen like with the Melo and Phil Jackson thing. For me, Phil Jackson signed Melo when he had already peaked.
Well, so the issue with Carmelo was that he had everyone over a barrel because he was only going to come to the Knicks. And so Donnie Walsh, the GM at the time, was playing hardball. He wasn't going to give them a huge package for Carmelo. Why? They had no leverage. The Nuggets had really no leverage at the time. But Dolan cut Donnie Walsh's legs out from under him and gave the Nuggets every single thing they wanted for Carmelo. So Carmelo came to a team with no players, and he did what he could. He was a great player for the Knicks. He did what he could. Now, I suspect, like, if it's Bradley Beal or someone like that who's going to want to be a Knick, that's great. Are you going to win a championship with Bradley Beal and Quickley and Barrett and Julius Randle? That's not a championship team. What it could be is a team that also attracts another superstar, and then maybe you have a championship team. The difference with the Knicks right now, for the first time since Pat Riley left town, or at least Jeff Van Gundy, is that the culture is healthy and people are going to start to want to play there. All right. You hear that music? That's Michael Thompson, former number one overall draft pick, 20-12 guy, two-time champion with the Los Angeles Lakers, on a segment I like to call Father Knows Best. And he joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. Michael.
Max, my boy, it's about time you call so I can start re-educating you on some boxing.
Oh, you want to talk boxing right away?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's talking about Canelo, of course, and that sparring match. I can't believe you got 30. Canelo's the smartest boxer in the history of boxing because he has convinced people to pay him $30 million a fight to spar. First against Kovalev and against Yildirim. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous.
Well, Kovalev he was not what he once was, but Kovalev could still beat some guys. Yildirim was embarrassing, and he didn't appear to show up to win. As they said on the broadcast, the moment was way too big for him. But I know you're a big boxing fan. Why don't we start with basketball? We'll end with boxing, Michael. What do you say?
Sure, let's do it.
I think Michael's one of our best boxing analysts, by the way. Love Michael on boxing. What do you think about what Zlatan said about LeBron staying in his lane and not speaking out about politics in particular, and then LeBron's response?
I don't understand how anybody says that about athletes, because athletes are no different from plumbers, electricians, sports talk hosts like yourselves, or doctors, lawyers. Athletes are citizens, people just like anyone else. They just have a job like anyone else. And who out there listening to us right now does not have a job or has a job, and yet they weigh in on politics and on social issues because everybody has an opinion. So everybody who tells athletes not to speak up and use their platform doesn't make sense to me, because athletes are just like everyone else who has an opinion and want to share it if they feel like they want to share it. So whether it's LeBron James or an anonymous worker who's a maintenance worker, we all have a right to speak our mind and state our opinions.
And by the way, this is coming from Michael Thompson, who is a very conservative bent in his thinking. And yet I think we're operating in a world now, Michael, where that realization has come to pass that, yes, sports unite. I mean, what makes L.A. L.A. more than anything else? What makes it a town and not just a series of quasi sort of connected suburbs? It's the Lakers. That's where everyone from that area descends upon one geographical location and pulls in the same direction, right? Socioeconomic strata, racial and ethnic lines, gender and age lines, whatever it is, everyone comes together from this spread out geographical area and creates a city. The Lakers more than anything. So I understand the idea that sports unites. But if you have the platform LeBron has, or that Muhammad Ali had, or that Zlatan has, then you may feel the moral imperative that it's that you have a responsibility to speak to make the world a better place. And I don't know how you avoid politics, Michael. Like, well, you want to create a school and support a social movement, fine, but there's a huge overlap with politics.
Yeah, I don't understand how people, whether it's Zlatan or whoever it is, it could be a newscaster, a news pundit, whatever, who think that athletes are different and should not have an opinion. I mean, that this doesn't make sense to me. And usually people who think that way, you just ignore them and move on.
Right. Okay, well, in that case, let's move on. Dennis Schroeder, you know, you wouldn't think it, but when he was out, it reminds me of when LeBron got hurt in his first season with the Lakers. Michael, what people slept on was Lonzo Ball was also out, and that had a huge effect. They like, without LeBron or Lonzo, they really had a hard time winning. So AD goes down, but Schroeder also goes down, and that put enormous pressure on LeBron because Schroeder's the only other really creative playmaker on the team. Michael, as soon as the guy gets back, they can rest LeBron practically because they have such a big lead. LeBron played like 25 minutes. What about Schroeder's impact?
Yeah, he's vital to the Lakers' success because wherever LeBron's been, he's always, even as great a playmaker as LeBron is. I mean, he's right up there at the Magic Johnson mold and ability. But even as great as he is, he's always had a co-playmaker, whether it's Miami with Dwayne Wade and Cleveland with either Kyrie Irving or before Kyrie, Mo Williams. He's not as good as Kyrie, but Mo was a solid player. And, of course, now here he's got he had Lonzo, and, of course, now he's got a more experienced Dennis Schroeder to take some of the playmaking load off of LeBron, which allows him to rest and conserve his energy and instead of him having the ball in his hands 100% of the time. So Schroeder being another playmaker for the Lakers is vital that he stays healthy to take a lot of some of that responsibility away from LeBron. And Schroeder's an excellent player, man. He's like a younger version of Rondo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's saying a lot because Rondo gave him a big three in the playoffs. Like, he was not much in the regular season, but in the playoffs, he was an all-star caliber player. If Schroeder can do anything like that, and the Lakers are going to need it if the Nets keep this up. How concerned are you about the Nets, Michael?
Very concerned. I've already stated publicly on Twitter, on my shows, with you, that if everybody's healthy, I expect to see a Lakers-Brooklyn NBA Finals, and I know they got to go through Philadelphia in the East and Boston and Toronto, those kind of Milwaukee. And out here in the West, you've got some stiff competition right here in town with the Clippers. The Lakers have the two best players in the world. Okay, maybe Joel Embiid may have something to say about that, but LeBron and AD. And if those two guys are healthy, and then Schroeder could step up and beat out the playoff Rondo for the Lakers, I expect the Lakers to be there in the finals going against Brooklyn. Brooklyn's that good, man. And you see what James Harden's doing right now. Harden's playing so well, he's injected himself as the third guy in the MVP talk, along with Embiid and LeBron.
He has. How concerned are you about Anthony Davis, Michael? I am, the more I think about it, the more worried I get. The Lakers' future, not just the present, but the future, is pinned on AD. And when I start hearing things about the Achilles, Michael, I get very nervous. And the Lakers can't have him at 80% and beat the Nets, let alone like teams like the Jazz and everything. But the Nets especially, he's going to have to be at 100%. How concerned are you about AD?
Not too concerned. He's resting. You see him walk around. He's not limping or anything like that. So they're just being overly cautious, as they should be. But I think AD will be fine when he gets back sometime in March. And I'm not concerned about it. So I think they're doing the right thing by arresting him. So he'll be all right.
The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. Before I let you go, Michael, you wanted to talk a little boxing. Let's get it in real quick. What's the big idea, Michael?
Well, I think the Billy Joe Saunders has to run, get on his bicycle, and try to out-slick, out-work, and out-move Canelo for 12 rounds. That's the only way he could possibly win. He just can't ever get caught. But I was thinking about this. I tweeted this out. Let's say Canelo's going to unify the 168 division, right? Do you think it's crazy, Max? Do you think I'm loco, to put it in Mexican terms, if Canelo put on 15 pounds and challenged the Joshua Fury winner?
Yeah, that's nuts. They would make quick work.
Why?
Because he's too small. These guys are super-duper heavyweights. They're 250-plus. Joshua is 6'5", 6'6". Tyson Fury's 6'9". He weighs 260 pounds. He moves like a lightweight. Yeah. By the way, Canelo doesn't have a better defense than Tyson Fury. Like, think about it. Guys, they're 6'9". But I'll say this.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I know you think that Canelo can challenge Julio Cesar Chavez as the biggest Mexican star of all time in boxing. And they've had quite a few in Mexico. Ruben Olivares and Zarate and even going back to Miguel Canto or Salvador Sanchez when I was a kid. And then later on, Marco Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales, Juan Manuel Marquez, all these guys. Chavez is the king. But I'll say this, Canelo's crossover appeal in North America and around the world may be greater than Chavez's already. I don't know if he'll ever be as big in Mexico as Chavez was, though. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, I learned that from all the people who were tweeting back at me saying that's like comparing Muhammad Ali to Floyd Mayweather to Muhammad Ali from Mexican. So I don't think he'll ever reach the popularity of Julio, of JCC. But the fight I really want to see Canelo, two fights I want to see Canelo fight. And tell me if I'm crazy. Hmm. I think David Benavidez could give him a – could beat him. I really believe that.
Well, it's going to be – he could give him a fight. I mean, I think the fighters – the two fighters that have the best shot to beat Canelo are two guys I don't expect to see him in with. And at light heavyweight, that's Beterbiev and Bivol. By the way, Canelo has chances against them too. But those are excellent matchups. I don't know who would win. But that's in the division above him. And right now he's taking care of the 68-pounders. I would like to see Canelo start fighting one of the top three or four guys we want to see him fight. Like, he fights good fighter after good fighter, and they're in his division and they have belts. But none of them, it's like, hey, that's the number one guy I want to see Canelo fight. I'd like to see him start fighting the number one guy that we want to see him fight, whoever that may be at the time. He hasn't done that since Triple G. Michael Thompson, Lakers play-by-play. Father knows best. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear. Celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Is Russell Wilson doing Dak dirty? Hear what Keyshawn Johnson says about it. Stream Why Not Us, this new series from executive producers Chris Paul and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN+. Why Not Us follows the North Carolina Central University basketball team and reveals what it means to be a student-athlete at an historically black college and university. Only on ESPN+, along with the Max Kellerman Show and hours of daily sports talk.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN+, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. 15-yard penalty for giving him the business. Is Russell Wilson going after Dak's job? Listen to Keyshawn Johnson on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the mornings here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio. Excuse me. I got it right that time. Listen to Key talk about how Russell Wilson is doing Dak dirty.
The Dallas Cowboys situation, with the agent saying that Russell Wilson would prefer the Dallas Cowboys as a destination, is a little head-scratcher for me, because essentially, in my opinion, that job is already filled with Dak Prescott. I have a problem with that because somebody has a job already. So I'm like, Key, you know, you trying to steal me a job.
I mean, Key would be right if Dak was being signed up long-term already, you know, if he'd already been signed up long-term by Dallas. But at this point, they still don't have a contract. You know, if they franchise him, it's not the same thing. And if they don't, then what's that mean? So I wouldn't say exactly that job is filled at the moment. And then, by the way, even if it is, it's a competitive business. You know, if they'd rather have Russell Wilson than Dak Prescott, it ain't like Dak's going to be without a job. He'll just be without that job. Dak's going to make $35 million plus a year for a bunch of years in some, you know, NFL city. Very soon. Russell ain't taking that away from him. He just may take away the Dallas job from him. But how's that any different than two dudes on the same team competing for a job? Two dudes in the same league competing for a job. I don't see the difference. Dak got to get his game up if he doesn't want Russell Wilson to come and take his job. And Dak can play, but Russell Wilson plays better. That's a good quarterback, even a very good quarterback in Dak Prescott, versus a great quarterback in Russell Wilson. Dak is hoping to get to where Russell Wilson is now, and maybe he will get there. But he ain't there right now. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, good show. Two things. The Rams, they should have gone after and signed J.J. Watt. They had no business letting go of Dominic Sue and the Jets. just take another quarterback and get something for Sam Darnold. Don't trade the farm for Watson, at least not yet, because I think the price will go down for as Houston holds on to him. What do you think? And thanks.
Well, I would say, what was the Jets' point, Raj? Well, I didn't catch the. I was thinking about J.J. Watt on the Rams. It would have been cool, and like you can't afford everybody. You can't afford to be sentimental or just try and do cool things with name brand guys in the NFL. But could you imagine if they'd been able to keep Ndamukong Suh and add J.J. Watt and have Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald in the middle with J.J. Watt off the end? But even it would have been good to see J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, because as great as Ndamukong Suh was at his best, that's the J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald are a different level. And for those being like, oh, you're putting J.J. Watt on Aaron Donald's level? No, not at the moment. Donald's playing better than Watt at the moment. But Watt at his best versus Aaron Donald at his best is very, very, very close. You know, I would say the difference is Aaron Donald is considered, I think, by most the greatest to ever play the interior line. And J.J. Watt is not considered the greatest to ever play, you know, an edge rusher on the defensive line. But was Reggie White or Bruce Smith better than J.J. Watt? Those guys are all right about the same. Only dude I would take over any of them, and he wasn't even a front four or three or four guy, was Lawrence Taylor. You know, just a front seven guy. I'd take him over everybody. But like when you think about the greatest of all time to play in the front seven, at least in my lifetime, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Bruce Smith, Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, Ray Lewis, who's the seventh guy, because those six are all playing. That would have been fun. NFL about to make a huge mistake. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressive.com, and I'm going to take your calls. A lot of Lakers fans want to talk AD. I'm worried because, and Stephen A. was making this point on the air last couple weeks, AD can't be 70-80%. AD's got to be 100% if you hope to beat the Brooklyn Nets. Nets are not playing games. They got that defense together quick, fast, and in a hurry. I did not expect it to come together that quickly. And the offense, the scary thing is they haven't even gotten started. When all three guys are healthy by the end of this year, it's going to be the greatest offense of all time. And by all time, I mean the history of American team sports, and by far. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, coming right up with your calls.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, Axe Max. Coming right up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Today's guests joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. Last Take is brought to you by Dell. Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Save up to 45% on Dell computers powered by Intel Core processors. Just ask 877-ASK-DELL, A-S-K-D-E-L-L.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Got New York mad at me right now because I tell them the truth about the Knicks. And I jumped ship, became a Lakers fan. It's glorious. Got the Lakers Twitter account. I mean, not the Lakers Twitter account. Lakers Nation tweeted tweeted a clip of me on First Take saying, for the first time, I get the sense that I'm watching, when I watch James Harden, the best player in basketball, saying that I have a new best player in basketball every other week. Let me tell you something. New York and L.A., I know you're both upset. I used to do local shows in both markets. And then I sold you both out to go national. To make more money than you've ever dreamed possible. And I would do it all again. That's right. Eric in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call. Another Brooklyn native, so, you know, New York team fan. But I tell you what, Russell Wilson will be better off in New Orleans. If he goes to Dallas, his career is going to just die. I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl.
I agree with that. The Saints are ready to win now, and Drew Brees ain't it. And I like Taysom Hill, but I don't think Taysom Hill is going to win you a Super Bowl as a quarterback either. Russell Wilson on the Saints? Oh, that's another story. They can mess around and win a Super Bowl like right away, like year one. He could do what Tom Brady just did. Bucks loaded on both sides of the ball. You know what the difference between the Bucks and the Saints was this year? The only difference. In the moment of truth, Brady was better than Brees. When it didn't matter as much in the regular season, Brees was better than Brady. Both games. But in the moment of truth, and you know what's so sad? You knew it was going to work out that way. I tweeted out going into the fourth quarter, tie game, fourth quarter. It's a team the Saints have beaten twice. Can Brees come through? Because more often than not, Brady has. And the answer was no, Brees couldn't, and Brady did. That was the difference. That was it. In the fourth quarter of the playoff game, Brady played better than Brees. Well, the defense, they say, yeah, it's the fourth quarter. It's a tie game in the playoffs. What do you mean, defense? Yes, they've played all that. Now, who's going to make the plays? Brees did not. Russell Wilson would. Jesse in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, what's going on? Big fan of the show.
Thank you, bro.
I'm a Steelers fan, lifelong Steelers fan. Yep. And just all this talk about the Steelers being better without Big Ben really got me thinking, like, I can't believe that to be true, you know? Like, what are we going to do, start Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins?
No, this is the big difference between – there's a big difference between the situation, say, the Saints are in and the Steelers are in. You say, well, why not bring back Drew Brees? He's your best option. I don't know about that. Because Taysom Hill may be a little underrated right now. He's not just a gadget player. He showed he can play some quarterback. And Jameis Winston was a former number one overall pick. And you know, throws a ton of interceptions, but also it can air it out. Steelers don't have anyone like a Taysom Hill on their bench. And so, and unlike the Steelers, the Saints are ready to win a Super Bowl now if only they had the quarterback. The Steelers, if you give them a better quarterback, it's not a Super Bowl team still. Not quite. You know, they don't have an offensive line that blocks for the run. They don't give the quarterback much time to throw. And the defense can't make up for all of that. Saints are more ready to win than the Steelers. And the Saints also have a better backup option than the Steelers. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Chuck in Detroit, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
What's up, Max? How you doing, sir?
Good. Go, Chuck.
Hey, I want to talk to you about boxing. I'm a big boxing fan, and I've had debates with people. I grew up in the 70s, 80s watching boxing, and I am a advocate of the best two welterweights I ever seen in my lifetime were Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray. Hearns was 34-1 with 30 knockouts as a welterweight before he moved up, and I still say today he would be better than Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, even Floyd Mayweather in my mind. I believe
Hearns. Well, look, Tommy Hearns in his prime only lost at welterweight to Sugar Ray Leonard, and it was a fight in which he was winning. You know, there are 12-round fights now, right? Well, he was after 12 rounds, Hearns was winning. Eventually, Sugar Ray Leonard caught up to him and knocked him out, and I believe Sugar Ray would have caught up to him earlier if he had to. But it was Sugar Ray Leonard down on the cards, rallying after the 12th round to beat Hearns. That's the only loss he had as a welterweight. Tommy Hearns was almost 6'2" with a 78-inch reach. Lightning fast hands, could really box, crazy great jab, and fight-ending power in his right hand. Like, when you talk about the hardest punchers of all time, pound for pound, Hearns at welterweight's in the conversation. So I know what you're saying. A bad matchup for Floyd. And again, Floyd gets hit with Tommy's right hand, it's over, but then Floyd's hard to hit. Floyd fits in with those guys. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Richard in Manhattan. I guess no Richard in Manhattan. John in New Mexico, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, respectfully to Joel Embiid's MVP performance.
All I can say is this. This is what it sounds like to me. Did it sound like that to you too, Raj, or is it just me? I couldn't understand one single word.
Yeah, little muffling in there, little muffling.
John, try it again.
Are we good now?
Not really, but we'll try it. Go ahead. You got about 20 seconds.
Is Miami Heat going to make it farther than the 76ers in the playoffs?
Miami Heat, something, something, the 76ers in the playoffs. Miami Heat have been an underachieving team this year. They're going to be very dangerous come playoff time. The 76ers, to me, that's the only team with a chance to beat the Nets in the Eastern Conference, and I believe they actually have a chance. Simmons and Embiid are killing it. Daryl Morey surrounded them with shooting. That's a serious contender. But at this moment, the Nets may be the favorites to win the whole thing. Big game for the Lakers and the Knicks. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.